turn to 1 Samuel 30, I wanted to talk a little bit about being emotionally healthy with endurance and resilience, and the importance of how we should respond to our circumstances. And when we look in 1 Samuel 30, we're going to look at a number of different verses. If you, in your spare time, will read the entire chapter and the preceding chapter, but some of us may be familiar with this story, but when we look at the life of David and looking at his life throughout the Word of God, particularly in 1 Samuel, and how before he became king, you know, God promised that he was anointed king. God promised him that he would be king, but he actually experienced a lot of difficulty, a lot of challenges, a lot of trauma. And in that regard, when we look at his life from the time that he was anointed king, he experienced just a lot of challenges, a lot of hardships. Look at 1 Samuel 30. This is a climatic experience where now at the place of Ziklag, he has experienced all of these attacks where the enemy has come in and has attacked his people, attacked his community, that they have stolen everything, taken away all their livestock, all their servants, taken away David's wives. So even in spite of all the pain and all the things that he experienced with Saul over time, now there's this huge climatic pivot point in the scripture where he's now, everything has been taken away from him. And it says in verse, if we look at the scripture in 1 Samuel 30, verses 1-7. Now imagine that everything was taken from them, their sons, their daughters, their houses, everything, their entire community was burned to the ground. Burned with fire to the point something is burned, it's almost like it was irrecoverable. But the key thing that I just note is that when it says that they did not kill anyone, so even with all the things that happened, it was a blessing in disguise that no one was killed. There's always a silver lining. So regardless of how the enemy comes to attack us, we can still find things to be thankful for, find things to be grateful for, even in the midst of great trauma and stress and anxiety. That's a part of the enemy's distractions and entrapments, that we can feel defeated, we can feel discouraged, we'll experience stress, anxiety, frustration, and all these things, worry and fear. These are silent killers. And the Bible says, then David and the people who were with him in verse 4, they raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. And so when we look at this, one of the things that I see in this scripture is that when we experience pain and when we experience frustration or great distress, it's okay to be emotional in that moment. It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep, because we see here with this huge, horrible attack that took place, where it says, then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. And when pain comes, when experiences comes, it's okay to respond, to weep, to cry, to feel whatever emotion that we feel at the time. However, we cannot stay there. So while it's okay to be emotional, at the same time, we have to make sure that we process our emotions rightly. We have to make sure that we process how we feel rightly. So we're still human. We still will experience pain. We still will experience sadness and grief, frustration, potentially at times even a bit of depression, but we cannot stay there because that is not of God. So we have to make sure that we process our emotional and mental pain rightly. We have to reset ourselves. And so in verse six and seven, it shows two different responses as it relates to emotions. Verse six says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul." Bitterness is a dangerous emotion. Bitterness will allow us to be sick physically. Bitterness can take us to an early grave. And so as Christians, we have to guard ourselves from being bitter. It says they were bitter in soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. You know, sometimes we can come across people's pain. We've all experienced sadness or grief, but when you talk to someone, you can sense like what's coming out of them. You know, when you talk to people, they're always angry. They're always mad. There's this overarching sense of negativity that you feel from them. Perhaps there are painful events or sad events that took place in their life where they never was healed and they've never been healed in those areas. So the people, David was greatly distressed. The people were distressed, but the people, they responded that they were going to stone him because they were bitter. Bitter, the pain and the grief that they were feeling was going to precipitate now them attacking and killing David. So he wasn't even killed by the enemy in the battle, but his people and his community are going to turn against him and stone him and kill him because of their bitterness. We have to guard against being bitter. Bitter in our mind, bitter in our emotions, bitter in our will. Our mind and our emotions, however we're feeling in our thoughts and what we're thinking, that impacts how our behavior and what we do and our conduct and how we respond. So we have to guard ourselves. We have to make sure that we reset our emotions. We don't stay in grief or sadness or anger or depression or frustration or whatever it is, but we reset ourselves and filter our mind, filter our emotions through the truth of God, through his word, through his character, through his righteousness, through the righteousness of his word. Because the reality is the enemy, he wants us to be bitter. The enemy, he wants us to be angry. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. So even the word is telling us it's okay for us to have our emotions because we are human and to respond or to feel those emotions, but we don't want to react or respond based on the emotions. That's what the enemy wants us to do. Some people are so overwhelmed with pain, so overwhelmed with heaviness and grief and all these things that it begins to impact their health. It begins to impact even just their mental thinking, where some people, like their personality split and they experience a medical depression. You know, I know people who have suffered depression from a medical perspective where they have to take medicine to manage their depression, or potentially even for other people, manage their stress or their anxiety. They're prone to panic attacks, prone to stress. And so with that, they take medication to manage it. So we have to be careful in the areas of our soul and our emotions. And then based on our emotions, because something feels good, or because we want something, or because something looks attractive, that's our emotion. We're responding out of our emotion. And in responding out of our emotions, we will make choices and make decisions that then carry consequences. And the consequences are things that can cause us even more pain. So we have to be careful in regards to where we, how we process our emotions. It's okay to be, to feel the emotion, but we want to make sure that we reset how we feel through the righteousness of God's word, through the character of God, through how God sees us, and that we're always conscious that the enemy is always trying to take us further than we want to go and keep us longer than we want to be kept. Dr. Charles Stanley, that was a quote he always would say that resonated with me. And I'll repeat it, that the enemy will keep us longer than we want to be kept and take us further than when we want to go. So we think that we're just dipping and dabbing. Those choices will inevitably draw us into spaces, patterns, behavior, choices that could destroy us, because the enemy, he's not playing. The enemy doesn't like you. The enemy has nothing for you. And so when we dip and dabble and go a little over here, do a little of that and think it's okay, you might get away with it for a little while, but ultimately, he will keep us longer than we want to be kept and take us further than we want to go. And the consequences of those choices and decisions will and can destroy us. So David, it says in the word, different from the people. The people in verse 6, they were bitter in their soul, bitter in their thoughts, minds, emotions. And so their thoughts and their emotions began to contribute to the choice that they were going to make. And what would happen if they stoned David and killed David? Like, that would have changed the trajectory of history as we know it, because David was a part of bonded in their choices. How could that have changed history? Now, God has got to do things according to his will, in different ways, but they alignment with God's will because of responding out of their bitterness. But then we see a contrast with David in verse 7, where it says that David strengthened himself. And that's where God wants us to be as the people of God, that when we're experiencing turmoil, that sometimes we can't wait till Sunday for the pastor to encourage us. Wait till Tuesday for prayer. That there are times that the enemy is coming at us out, trying to hurt us, harm us, steal, kill, and destroy, that we have to find something within ourselves, the God within us, where it says that David strengthened himself in 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. And so he saw, he was vulnerable. He recognized, and again, this goes back to that, you know, I feel like when I was growing up in the church, there was a tendency, people, and especially in like West Indian culture and African-American culture, it's a tendency where people say, you got to be strong, toughen up, you know, stop crying, stop weeping. I mean, I tell that even to my munchkins, that like, toughen up, stop whining, stop crying, like toughen up. But even in that, it's like trying to get them to understand there's some things you don't need to whine about, like open up your mouth and communicate, share what it is that you're feeling, share what it is that your challenge or your problem is, and stop whining, stop crying, like communicate. And it says here that David strengthened himself. So it's a posture of vulnerability. Like, he's recognizing that he's at a low place. He's recognizing that he's hurt. He's aware of his pain. He's needing help. And, you know, sometimes when we're disappointed or when things happen where we're feeling frustrated, we can feel raw. I remember a friend of mine, I was teasing her about something. We were texting back and forth, and she had responded to something on a post that I made. And I was teasing her about, I think it was something that I planned. She was supposed to come. She didn't come at the last minute. So she had posted, she had made a comment. And so I was teasing her, like, even though you didn't show up or even though you didn't come. And I had said it a couple times. And at me. She sent me a personal text message going off on me. What's wrong with you? Like, what is your problem? And she had to apologize. She searched herself that she was having other personal things that were not going right in her life. So my teasing her right at that time or that, you know, day, it didn't go well with her. It rubbed her along the way because she was still feeling raw in her emotions. She was still feeling raw in like the pain and the hurt of what she was experiencing. So under normal circumstances, when I would tease her, she probably would have laughed. She would laugh because that's our friendship. She would not have gotten, she would not have taken it personal, but she took it personal this time because of the fact she was very sensitive. And so she was more vulnerable. She was more susceptible to being hurt. And sometimes, you know, we can have a tendency where we overlook what people are going through. We overlook where a person may be. Yeah. A lot of times as Christians, we do need to toughen up. That people are not going to baby us, especially if we've been in Christendom for years and years. Like, it's just some things, it's just like, grow up already. You need to mature. You need to, you know, seek God, be in a place where you're hearing God's word, be in a place where you're seeking his face, and that you're not making the same choices and decisions that have consequences and repercussions that are devastating or completely impactful, where it's not benefiting, or it's taking us longer and longer to get to the next point. And so being vulnerable, whether it's to be vulnerable to say I messed up, to be vulnerable and said I made a mistake, I shouldn't have done this, vulnerable that this hurts me, what you said hurt me, this bothers me, one of the munchkins, I was teasing her. And she was just like, stop, you know, just like, right. It's like, toughen up, stop that. And she was like, well, I don't like when you do that. And she said, why? Which I commend her. She said that at school, sometimes people tease her a lot because they say she acts like too much of a whiny baby, which is the whole point of what I was teasing her about, you know? So, but now she could tune me out if I keep teasing her, because that's like a sensitive thing for her because other people tease her. So instead of teasing her, now I have to find another way to try to get her to be more aware of, you know, recognizing that, you know, people are mean. Sometimes people will say things that will hurt you. You have to learn how to, just those types of things. So David, he was vulnerable. When it says he strengthened himself, we have to recognize our vulnerability and not deceive ourselves, not try to sweep stuff under the rug. Like, I'm okay. You know, you just lost your spouse. I'm okay. You know, okay. You know, I trust God. Yeah, we trust God, but I trust God. I'm hurt. Like, whatever the case may be, we have to make sure that we are honest with ourselves. But in that honesty, we're not staying in our emotions. We're feeling them, but then we're resetting. We're resetting our vulnerability. And sometimes the pain that we can experience, like this, that David and these people experienced in 1 Samuel chapter 30, like that could make someone have a nervous breakdown. That could make someone fall apart, you know, go into deep depression. But the thing that David did, which prevented him from being overcome by his emotions, which is what happens to a lot of people, that we become overcome. We succumb to our emotions. That's why people go into depression or they start to be bitter, because we allow our emotions to rule us. We allow our emotions to overtake us. But the word says in verse 7, not only did David strengthen himself, but it says that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. 1 Samuel 30, verse 7. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So he recognized his vulnerability, but he also recognized God as the source, not an afterthought or to get out of a jam, but that relationship where he turned to God, God as his focus and his direction to now direct his emotions, direct his pain, direct all these things and give it to the Lord. So he had a clear, intentional focus and posture in prayer that he was totally dependent upon God in prayer. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. He responded differently. And that's how we have to be as Christians. We have to respond differently than how the people responded in verse 6, where they responded in bitterness and allowed their emotions to rule them. Whereas in verse 6, he gave his emotions to the Lord. So we need to give our emotions to the Lord, give it to him. And then as we give it to him, we're recognizing that it's not in our power or in our strength, but it's in God's power. He's facilitating through the prayer. He will allow us to, if we seek him, if we ask him, he will allow us to know his will. It ushers in his presence, where the presence of God begins to touch those hurt areas. The presence of God begins to touch the pain, the stress, the anxiety, if we allow him. If we go to prayer and we're still holding on to our anger or still holding on to our bitterness, then we're just going through an exercise that is unfruitful. Because we pray and say, Lord, I give it to you. But then we get up and we're still bitter. We get up and we're still angry. You know, I was listening to this lady, and she was saying that, you know, she has a problem with anger before she got saved. And so before she got saved, she had a problem with anger. And so now that she's been saved, when people do things to her, how she will ask God, I release Bob into the freedom of my forgiveness. And she will go on a fast. Like if someone hurts her or she makes her angry or does something against her, she will go on an instant fast. And just all day. And she has this clicker that she clicks, I release Bob into the freedom of my forgiveness. And she keeps saying it. And until it becomes a part of her, for her to release it from her thoughts, release it from her heart, release it from her spirit, because we don't know how much bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, resentment, how these things impact God hindering and God not answering our prayers. Like we can pray every Thursday, every Tuesday, every Sunday, all we want. But if we have bitterness, if we have unforgiveness, if we have resentment and negative things that we have against people, we can't expect God to answer our prayers, because it doesn't work like that. Like we have to forgive. We have to release these type of emotions, bitterness, resentment, anger, riling. We have to release scornfulness, unforgiveness, because our prayers will be hindered if we don't forgive, if we don't release the bitterness. And this is in our thoughts. This is in our heart. This is in our emotions. This is in our will, how we act towards these people or these people that have harmed us or injured us in whatever way. So David, he strengthened himself in the Lord. And it says in verse 8, he inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? So he sought the will of God. That there's a lot of things that we don't have control over. We don't have control when someone passes away. We don't have control when certain things happen in our life that can cause us trauma or pain or harm. Some things we can control. Some things are just bad choices, bad decisions, and we end up suffering the consequences. You know, if we have a problem with budgeting, we don't budget, and we already have a limited income, so we go and we spend and we finance as well. That's not something God could eventually help us how to budget. End of the day, we are walking in the consequences of our own bad choices. Look at how David strengthened himself in the Lord. He was resetting his heart, resetting his vulnerability, and now coming into a posture so that his behavior, his conduct, his choices, all these things, how he acted, would align with God's will. And in order for him to be in alignment, he sought God. He asked God, Lord, what do I do? How do I respond to this situation, these people who have wronged me? How do I respond to these people who have almost assassinated everything concerning his community, right? And most of us, do we pray when someone wrongs us? You know, we might pick up a knife, we might try to, you know, take revenge, whatever the case may be. Are we actually seeking God in that situation and not allow our emotions to overtake us? So are we having right behavior? Are we able to stand in God's character, stand in God's image, Christ-likeness? You know, and this brings me to the word resilient. We reset, we recover. When David said, do I pursue? Do I overtake them? The only way that we can pursue and overtake is if we always align our emotions, always align our thoughts, our attitude, our heart posture with our behavior. Because what we do, how we act, it's coming from how, like, what's in our heart. And so the Bible talks about the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but to those who endure to the end. We cannot endure to the end unless we are resilient. And when we look at the dictionary, and the Oxford Dictionary says resilience, it refers to the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. It means to be tough. And so resilience, it's the ability to cope with and to cope and to recover from setbacks. Like, we all have challenges. We all have difficulties that we have to navigate. But when we have resilience, we experience the situation, we feel the pain or the frustration or whatever emotion that we have from the situation, but we recover. We don't wallow. We don't, you know, go into a deep depression. We don't disappear from church for weeks at a time or months at a time because we are in our depression or because we're mad or because we're angry. That is how the enemy comes in. Like, I don't understand, like, how Christians who have been with walking with God for a while don't see that or don't recognize that. Like, when we're babes in the Lord, that's one thing. But as we mature and as we grow in God, we have to recognize that this is one of the ways that the enemy tries to attack us, is that for us to allow our emotions to overtake us, for us to respond and behave in a way that is in alignment with our emotions, which is not of God. Our alignment and our behavior, our conduct and response should always be in Christ's character, in Christ's word, based on the word, power, and life of the word and spirit. So resilience, it means that we cope. We're able to cope with challenges, difficulties, to manage situations and to skill when things come up. That yes, we might get angry in the moment, don't harbor negative feelings towards people and nurse those feelings, malice, all these types of things. So instead of falling into despair or hiding, right? The enemy wants to isolate us when we shrink back because something happened, and so we avoid church or we avoid people. A lot of times that is, it's isolation. It's where the enemy is trying to isolate us, because if he can isolate us and keep us from the house of God, if he can isolate us, keep us distracted, busy with work, busy with businesses, busy with family, busy with jobs, busy, all these things. When he isolates us, that is how he can further leverage those negative thoughts, further leverage those negative emotions, further leverage and enhance, harp on those thoughts, our heart issues, our attitude that impact now how we respond. So it's important that when we have hits or things that we know how to cope, we know how to recover, and that we do it the right way, that we process it the right way. So having resilience, it doesn't mean that we experience less stress or less distress. It doesn't mean that we're less anxious or experience less grief than others, but it just means that we're able to cope. We're able to handle challenges, that we don't slip into depression or fall off of being a servant, or fall off of attending church, or fall off praying. You know, sometimes we could just be like, well, what's the use? You know, why pray? Nothing's happening. It don't look like nothing's happening. Why pray? Like, he's not answering my prayer. Like, that could be our response, because we start to get frustrated when we're seeking God week after week. But we also have to make sure that our hearts are clean. Do we have bitterness? Do we have resentment? Do we have unforgiveness? Do we have any of these things that hinder and prevent the power of God from flowing in our life, the answers of God answering our prayers? When we're resilient, when we know how to cope, it fosters strength, it fosters growth, it fosters maturity, you know, because you have people that when things happen, they mope. There's always this negative overtone. I can't even act that way, because, you know, I do my best trying to stay focused, doing my decrees and declarations. Like, the enemy is, we already have to deal enough in our own personal battles every day we wake up, the thoughts that the enemy bombards us with. Like, what are we feeding ourselves? If we're just constantly on watching TV, constantly watching movies, constantly reading romance novels, constantly on social media and all this kind of thing, these things can impact our thoughts. These things influence our thoughts, how we feel about things, because there's so much negativity. There's so much, you know, people talking about people, railing, all this. And I'm not talking about, you know, being on social media from a business or ministry perspective, but when you're just on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, whatever it is, for hours all day, just scrolling. And are you spending time? How much time have you spent to the Word? How much time have you talked to God? If we're not feeding ourselves with things that will allow us to be nurtured and grow spiritually, or influence, again, our thought life, influence, so that we then start out of fear, out of stress, out of pain. It's a no-brainer. So God is calling for resilience. He wants us to build capacity in us, the ability to stand, the ability to cope, regardless of what it feels like, regardless of our thoughts or what it looks like. We have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Sometimes it's not going to come from the pastor on Sunday, or come from the teacher on Tuesday, or a prayer. We have to know on a daily basis how to encourage ourselves. Some version says that David encouraged himself. It's immature to always look for someone to encourage and strengthen us. A sign of maturity, as we saw in David, is that he encouraged himself. He strengthened himself. And then he strengthened himself in the Lord. But God is our keeper. God is our resource. And so there might be times where we have issues or pain or things that happen where we turn to God as our support, but we also have to enlist the support of counsel. That could be the pastor. It could be a spiritual counselor. It could be a spiritual therapist, because some things, like people who experience trauma, like mental abuse, sexual assault or sexual abuse or physical abuse, things like that, sometimes we need additional support beyond just praying and looking to the Lord. We need professional help. But through all these things, God's power is supreme. He is the God of all impossibilities. He holds all power in his hand, that when we turn to him, that we are able to heal. So he wants us to be able to recover, to cope. He wants us to remain calm, not to be easily shaken. So that when the word says the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but those who endure, we can't endure unless we know how to cope. We have to first know how to endure to the end. So we have to know how to handle hardships. We have to set our thoughts, our attitude, our heart always back to God, and not allowing our emotions or difficulty or challenges to be what causes us to make bad choices. And we can pray and ask God to put people in our path, in our life, and he answers prayer. You have other people, when you tell them something, I'll never forget, I told this lady something years ago at this church, and the next thing I know, she had ran and blabbed it to a couple of people in the church, and I was so mad. And I recognized that she was not someone that I could confide in. So sometimes we might end up learning by trial and error, that if we tell someone something, and unfortunately it is what it is, but sometimes we end up learning that by trial and error, that when we ask someone or when we confide in someone and they end up sharing that confidence. So sometimes we might have to test the waters with just sharing a little bit or a small thing before, in order to get a sense if that's someone that we're comfortable with. But definitely interacting, one, praying, seeking the Lord, asking him for friends, whether it's friends or godly counsel, because sometimes it is true, people who may have been through similar circumstances sometimes can be more empathetic or a little bit more understanding with what we are going through. Sometimes it's not always our peers. I remember when, you know, years ago, I had two friends who were like maybe 20, 30 years older than me. And I would always talk to them about stuff because they were trustworthy, but they were also spiritually mature. So we have to be careful that we're not blending the social friendship aspect with people who can speak spiritually, because 90% of the time, people who you interact with socially, they may not always be able to discern spiritually. So then I have people who we don't really do much socially or friendship, but I can call them and say, pray. I can say, you know, share a spiritual issue, and, you know, they can rightfully discern to, you know, share insights in that regard. Some of those of the latter that I just shared has come as a result of my asking God for godly people in my life, spiritually minded, spiritually mature people. And it didn't come overnight. It just came in time.